Welcome to another episode of Wrestling with Worldwide Willis. And this podcast is brought to you by the LMG Podcast Network. And folks, I'm here. I'm solo, but we are all good. I hope you got to check out last week's episode where we had our pre-2000s WWE entrance music draft or bracket, sorry. And we had a 16-song bracket. We went through it, had a really good time, had Spencer, had Pat, had L on there. We had a good time with it, man. So hope you check that episode out. It was a good one, really good time. So definitely let us know what you think as well. Now, as far as today's episode, we're going to run over some things. We're coming off a really good Raw episode. I mean, an amazing, amazing stacked Raw episode as far as like things that move the storylines around. It wasn't filled with great matches, but it was filled with some really good promos, really, really good promos, and a lot of things moving each story along as we're now, you know, under 20 days till WrestleMania. So right now it's championship season basically. So let's first start out. Let's touch on AEW real quick. We didn't get to, obviously last episode was about the bracket, so we didn't really get to touch on Sasha Banks making her debut in AEW. And yeah, I think it's been pretty good so far. She cut a really good promo last week. So I think it was a little odd because it has a lot of people thinking maybe she's going to be in official producer role, but I think she's going to have her hands in the women's division in AEW, which I think is definitely a good thing. Like, she just has one of the best minds, like wrestling minds out there. So I could definitely see Tony Khan kind of leaning on her to like help him build the women's division more and add more talent and be more versatile and giving them. I mean, the fact that she got to do a promo solo, like with no match involved, like that's progress. I mean, it's sad that that's progress, but that's progress for AEW. And she warrants that, right? She's one of the best in the world. To me, the best women's wrestler in the world as far as like just wrestling is concerned. And I just think she did a good job. She's had a good debut. Sounds like she's going to maybe compete for that TBS title, women's title, trying to maybe keep her away from Toni Storm. Not really sure on that yet. So we'll see. The women's division isn't very big. So it is kind of like you're swimming in the same swimming pool, right? Where like in the men's side in AEW, you could put people in different pools and, you know, you can put Swerve over here with him and Cowboy or him and somebody else and Samoa and somebody else. Like, they don't got to be around each other. So you can kind of keep storylines separate. Same with WWE. But in AEW women's division, that's about 7-8 of them, maybe. So they're going to cross paths. It's just the limited amount of roster space. So, I'm excited to see what she does. Mercedes. And I think she can have a really good run. I mean, obviously, I would love to see her in WWE. I think that's where she belongs. I think a star of her caliber belongs in WWE. However, this is the route she wants to go. And I think she's paving the way for women's wrestling in general, right? Like, you've never seen anybody leave WWE and then go on the independent circuits and kill it there and really like go on the circuit, making like, I call it the Ric Flair run. You know what I mean? Taking that Ric Flair road where you just as a champ or as the big hot commodity and hitting these different promotions, you know what I mean? Like the old school days. And so I'm excited for what she's going to do. It's definitely going to be interesting. So now let's go hop back into WWE. Obviously, we talked about how this latest episode of Raw was crazy. Well, one of the main reasons this Raw was quite crazy was because we had some unexpected guests in The Rock, the final boss, as they call him now. The Rock showing up, obviously, the episode was in Chicago. So that kind of makes, I mean, it's a big city. Honestly, he's been doing his shout out to The Rock. He's been showing up to Memphis and Alabama and all kind of random places. But him showing up in Chicago makes kind of sense. You know what I mean? Big, big city, big attraction. And him showing up and the way they did it was really good, right? They got the pop when Cody did a really good promo really good promo about The Rock and Roman and things of that nature, and talking about them and kind of getting the crowd really into it, to where they're thinking the promo is about to end for Cody. And then The Rock's music hits. Everybody goes crazy again. And then you're thinking, ooh, we're going to get this big time one-on-one promo battle, just The Rock and Cody, without Roman involved or Paul Heyman or anyone from the Bloodline involved. Well, actually, the cool thing is he doesn't even pick up a mic. He walks up to Cody and whispers in his ear something, makes a promise, as Cody said. Cody said afterwards that he made a promise he can't keep, which you'll see over later on in the episode, right? But I really liked the way they handled that, right? Obviously, at the end of the episode, you think it's over with Cody and Seth helping Jay versus Solo and Jimmy, and you think it's over, right? Spills into the back, kind of thinks it's heading down. And then Rock shows up again and, like, really, you know, start beating up Cody. We just haven't seen Rock do this type of stuff. Like, we haven't seen Rock exhibit any sort of physicality or get involved with physical in a physical nature. So it was fun to see him, like, the way he grabbed Cody and was throwing up against stuff and stuff. Like, you just haven't seen that in a decade. So, like, it was really cool to see that. And I thought just the ending was it was WrestleMania season level. You know what I mean? Like, that one felt like, ooh, okay. The ending of this felt like WrestleMania's around the corner. You know, just how good it was, how good The Rock did it, how good Cody looked vulnerable and looked like he was really beat up. Yeah, man, a really, really good ending. And I do think having Cody and Rock kind of go against each other is a really good piece. And I think it builds hype for the tag team match, because it's not just – the beef isn't only Roman and Cody. It's now personal between Rock and Cody. So you got both people. Obviously, hopefully they build that rivalry between Rock and Seth. And that way, all in all directions, is really personal for that tag team match. So, yeah, they got some time before. I think we got another Raw, maybe two Raws before WrestleMania. And I'm excited to see what they do there. It was a really good episode of Raw. I mean, it was stacked. It was big time names everywhere. But now let's talk about some of the other things we saw from this Raw episode of Raw. We saw CM Punk came out, kind of talked about how he's still on everyone's mind. Still, you know, people got his name in their mouths, and he's kind of surprised, you know, with Drew and Seth and even The Rock. And yeah, he cut a good promo. Drew comes out there. Drew has been killing it on the mic, by the way, has been killing it on the microphone. So it's fun to see Drew have a mic in his hand. Like, I don't know. I didn't think I'd say that in 2021, 2022, damn near 2023. Right. But to see Drew with a mic in his hand now is fun. It's interesting because he says stuff, you know, out of the ordinary. His different kind of cadence. Like, he's not like normal big guy on the microphone. So he really took some shots at CM Punk, talking about how he said, like, he's straight edge. CM Punk doesn't do drugs, doesn't drink, but he's always in rehab, and basically taking a shot at CM Punk always getting hurt and always having to rehab his injuries. So that was a really good dig. I thought it was really good of CM Punk to, like, kind of caught Drew off guard. Drew was saying, like, hey man, I've seen this coming all along. That's why I was called the chosen one. And CM Punk was like, who named you the chosen one? Like, I dare you, go ahead and say his name. Basically trying to goat Drew into saying Vince McMahon's name, which is kind of black. You can't really say that name right now, right? The block is hot, right? He's being sued for some crazy, crazy charges, allegations, right? So, yeah, that was really funny. You could tell Drew was like, you're trying to get me. You're trying to get me, which didn't work, but it was good. You could definitely tell they were kind of winging it on the promo, but I like that. Like, I like that they weren't robotic, and they kind of got to fill in some stuff, right? Obviously, they know the summary of the promo, but they can fill in the blanks a little bit. So I really thought that was good. And then when Seth came out, took it to another level, because Seth was just saying, like, because I guess it was kind of weird for CM Punk out of nowhere being like, I should be involved in this match. I should be a referee. I should be on commentary, one or the other, but I should be involved in this match. And, you know, without even speaking to the people involved in the match or anything like that, it was different. So for Seth to come out and be like, yo, I'm the champ. You pump your brakes. You're not making any rules. You're not, you know, the rules go through me. I'm the champion. And so he was correct. And so it was really cool to see those three really go at it and verbally. And yeah, I think CM Punk came out looking good. I thought both Drew and Seth held their own on the microphone. And CM Punk's given so many people so much ammo to work with on the mic that a 2013 CM Punk probably fares a lot better just because he hasn't given them so much, you know, artillery to work with. But, yeah, really good segment. Definitely, if we're getting CM Punk on the call, as far as like if he's on the booth, if he's sitting over there with McAfee and Michael Cole, that'll make the match interesting. And obviously there's always a interference factor. I do think having him as a guest referee would probably be the better choice just because it adds, you can put his name on the post, you can put his face on the poster when you're promoting the match, right? It just gives more intrigue to it. And I think we all can expect some tension between CM Punk and Drew and Seth during the match anyways. So might as well just put him in as a guest referee. And that way he kind of has a shield over him being the referee, right? So there's tension, but you can't touch me. That's always a really good thing to play with when you're writing and putting together a story and things of that nature. I kind of wish they would do that more often. I wish they would do more of the Stone Cold Triple H where, you know, we're beefing. We have a match down the line for the championship, but we can't touch each other because we'll get suspended or something like that. Like, I just think that's always a good tool to use because that writes itself, right? If they don't have matches or they don't meet up and start brawling 2 weeks before the match, there's a reason, right? There's a reasoning behind it. But very, very good promo. Back-to-back, very good promos. I do love that Rhea and Becky's feud has gotten more personal, that we took it up a notch in this latest promo. Rhea kind of attacked her, basically saying, like, you know, I don't need, like, because Becky was going at her about not wrestling every week and not being like a workhorse type wrestler with the championship. But Rhea threw some pretty good lines about, like, I don't need to do that to be relevant. Like, sure, Rhea could wrestle every week if she wanted to, right? She used to do that all the time. Rhea's not, you know, Rhea's not running away from a wrestling match. But as champion and as a superstar that she is, with or without a title, she has made herself relevant to a point where whether she has a title or not, whether she has a match on that night or not, you want to see Rhea Ripley, you know, and that's basically what she was saying to Becky. And so, but man, they took it to another level when Rhea brought up Becky's daughter. She basically, you know, obviously Rhea always says, you call me mommy or whatever, but to then throw that in, attach that line or that phrase when talking to a mother who's gonna, you know, cause she basically was like, Rhea was telling her like, hey, I'm gonna beat you up. I'm not gonna kill you, but I'm gonna beat you up to the extent to where when you're sitting with your daughter watching me the next week, your daughter can call me mommy. And man, like that was a really good line, really good line. And I thought the star of the promo was Becky, how emotional she got. You could tell it really hurt her. Like she was talking about how her dad never got to see her play, you know, I mean, never got to see her wrestle, but, you know, I never got to meet his granddaughter. And so he thinks he would be really proud of that. And just the emotion, the quiver, the like Cody Rhodes level, like emotion during your promo, that was really good. You know, and Chicago's a smart wrestling crowd. So they really understood, oh, okay, man, this is going to another level. So that was fun. And then obviously those two start brawling a little bit. Man, the way Becky punched Dominic Mysterio, bruh, like that should be studied in a boxing class. Like she reared off, closed fist, like straight jacked his jaw, like straight up hit his jaw hard. I'm like, damn, she didn't hold back much at all. And so I'm sure Dom was like, damn, like, have you been wanting to do that for a long time? Because that was a little too much sauce on it. But you can see it in slow-mo. Ooh, she rocked his world, you know. And, yeah, shout out to Becky. That was a good instance. And, again, it took that rivalry to the next level. Like Rhea said, Becky's been kind of going, you know, fighting all kind of random people when she just won the Royal Rumble. So it's kind of like, shouldn't you be focusing on Rhea? And Rhea's kind of been in the background, but I think now we're like locked in. I think Becky's eyes are solely on Rhea, solely on that title. So that'll be interesting to see. But I do think they're going to have a really good match at WrestleMania. And I think this has the potential to be a better like match or a better story than what Rhea had with Charlotte last year. Her and Charlotte's match was a classic, but the build to it wasn't great. Like they just kind of just faced off and didn't really talk about much, right? I thought Rhea was going to bring up how they saw each other in NXT and blah, blah, blah. They didn't really touch that. So I'm thinking this year they can hopefully, you know, make this rivalry a true, true rivalry that we all really, really care about. Now with this six-pack tag team ladder match, I am interested who these last two tag teams will be. So right now we have the New Day, we have DIY, we have Judgment Day, obviously. They're defending the titles. And then we have the Awesome Truth with R-Truth and The Miz. And we have two teams left to add to the match. I'm very, like, I feel like they should add the Creed Brothers. Like, the Creed Brothers should get that type of love. And then you got to – I want the Street Profits in it, but I just think they've lost a lot of momentum. But I would like to see Imperium. I think Imperium should definitely be in it. I do think Imperium lost to somebody to qualify, but they should have, like, a second-chance match. And I think Imperium will be a really good addition to that type of match because you got everybody else. Imperium can kind of – whenever it's grounded, Imperium can really kill it. And they have experience doing stuff crazy in NXT Black and Gold when they was in some crazy tag team matches. So I am rooting for that one. I think it can be a really good one. And the tag team wrestling, the tag team division has gotten a lot of focus, especially on Raw, just due to Triple H and his, you know, mastery. So I'm interested in that. I think I'm hoping these tag titles are split after WrestleMania, but at this point, man, I'm not getting my hopes up. You know what I mean? They might keep them united for a while. Who knows? Even though how silly that looks. Yeah. Now let's talk about this whole Bayley versus EO and Damage Control situation. I think some people are very disappointed with the build of this just because you had a cool little storyline going there. And it seems it's lost a little momentum the more people they add into it and the very, like, awkwardness of, you know, Bayley trying to wrestle these three. I don't know. It's odd. But I do think they kind of handled the Damage Control storyline a little – I do think the way they did it at Royal Rumble has caught up to them. So in Royal Rumble, my pitch was to have them turn on Becky during the Royal Rumble, like clearly and effectively turn on her, right? To have it to where kind of what they had it where Bayley is saving each and every one of them from getting eliminated. And then towards the end, have Damage Control turn on her, eliminate her. Right. I just think that was the best decision just because it added to the storyline. It showed that like Bayley was unselfish and did everything she can for the group, but the group doesn't do the same for her. You know what I mean? Doesn't reciprocate that gratitude. So Yeah, I would have did that. That way it could build a little more momentum for Bayley to coming out of it. Because even the next night when they did the whole the heel turn, damage control to Bayley, it wasn't the cleanest thing, right? So I think there's some holes they can help get Bayley more over, to be honest. I think Bayley's over just as a person. Everybody likes Bayley as a person. But this particular character and this particular storyline, I don't think is super, super over. So damage control, a lot of people are calling for them to be broken up. I would like to see Io go on her own. I would like to see Io as a singles champ without damage control and get the full brunt of the attention because she's not getting that right now. They're talking about the Kabuki Warriors more than they're talking about Io. Right, like sometimes it's easy to forget Io's your champ, you know. But yeah, we'll see about the damage control stuff. Still got some time, but this whole like Naomi Bianca backup thing, I don't love it, but we're hearing from Jade Cargill that this Friday on SmackDown could be very interesting, could add some layers to this story, which could be interesting if Jade Cargill gets involved. Okay, now I'm in, right? But until then, not my favorite thing on the card, to be honest. Let's talk about the Mania card so far. So let's pull it up here. The Mania card so far does kind of feel like they're just plugging spots in certain areas. Like they're like, okay, we have to have these 12 wrestlers on WrestleMania. And how do we do that? Oh, okay, so we force matches between two people. You know what I mean? Like we force put people in matches that don't necessarily help them that much. But we want them to be on the card. They can say they won WrestleMania. So the card so far, we have the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, obviously Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. The night before, we have a tag team match, Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. The World Heavyweight Championship, we have Seth Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre. Then we have the World's Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. And then we have the WWE Women's Championship, Io versus Bayley. And then we have that United States Championship match, Logan Paul versus Randy versus Kevin Owens. That should be solid. Then we have the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sammy. And the six-pack ladder match, obviously we named who was part of that one. And yeah, so so far they've said they're going to add maybe some matches to this card. But again, like the LA Knight, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso in a singles match. And then we have LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I don't AJ Styles, LA Knight, I'm hoping is good. It's a good match, but I don't have high expectations whatsoever. They both, I don't say LA Knight's let me down, but AJ Styles has for sure let me down as far as matches and giving it hype and whatnot. But I do think sometimes it's like LA Knight couldn't have got a better partner here. Like AJ's cool, but AJ's not, you know, I don't know. He's lost some momentum. He's been a part of random groups. He came back and got a title, you know, triple threat shot, but he had a cool showing in that. Wasn't nothing wild. Nothing that wowed me. You know, like nothing that was too. Nothing where I was like, oh, AJ Styles stole the show. Like, not at all. So, yeah, I do think, like, there's some other matches here. We'll talk about Gunther and Sammy. The Logan versus Randy versus Kevin Owens has a potential to be entertaining, but I don't necessarily need it, right? Like, obviously, I want the U.S. title defended on WrestleMania, but I don't. Something about this match I don't love. I think it could be really good. You already know Logan Paul is going to take a crazy bump, RKO bump. You already know. They're going to probably do the what they did to Theory with the stunner into the RKO, which didn't land well just because I think spacing or whatever. But this match, if they had a stipulation, maybe I'd love it. If it was a ladder match, I might rock with it. But it's just a plain old triple threat. No rules in triple threat. So, you know, they could probably add all that stuff in. We'll see. We'll talk about some of the other matches later. But those are kind of the matches that stick out to me that are like, ugh, is this WrestleMania worthy? You know? So, you know, I'm hoping, again, I hope all the Jay and Jimmy, we'll talk about that later as far as what I'm hoping I see from that rivalry. But the match itself, not super excited about, right? It's going to be kind of copy and paste as far as movesets. They both do this, a lot of the same movesets. So I don't know. I don't love seeing Jay and Jimmy. I really like watching Jay do solo matches. Those are fun. But Jay versus Jimmy, I mean, their wrestling styles are really, really similar. So I don't know. I don't know. I hope it goes well. I hope it has a prestigious feel to it. And I hope they get the recognition they deserve as far as two brothers going against each other at Mania. Like, that should be celebrated. But yeah, those are the main matches that I'm sort of like a little iffy on. But the rest, I think they have quality. They have a potential to be really, really good matches. Yeah, definitely a few classics in there, potentially. All right, now we're going to talk about my top five tweaks I would suggest that WWE makes before Mania. Top five. Okay, number five. They got to make Sammy somewhat believable as far as him versus Gunther, right? They got to make it to where we think, ooh, you know, Sammy has a chance, you know. Potentially he has a chance against the most dominant Intercontinental Champion of all time. Because right now, I don't believe it. Like, I would believe it more if Gable was in the match. But versus Sammy, I think I've seen him go against Sammy. He destroys Sammy. Gunther is, you know, just a beast, a monster. And he destroyed Sammy last time they went against each other one-on-one. So I think they need to definitely give Sammy something to work with as far as making him look more believable, make him have some moments, some wrestling moments where he gets big wins. Now, they haven't been giving him some wins lately, but he just lost to Bronson Reed due to a so-called Gunther interference, you know. And, yeah, next we have on the list, we have make us care about Jay versus Juice, Jay versus Jimmy, the brothers. So the whole thing right now between the rivalry is one left the bloodline, the other one stayed. But outside of that, it's just we're brothers. And it'd be cool to face my brother at WrestleMania. But what I want WWE to do is convince us why we care. Not just because they're blood brothers, but convince us as far as, like, we need a Jay story about Jimmy. Like, about how maybe Jimmy bullied him or treated him wrong at some point or left him. I don't know. Something. We need a childhood story that no one knows for Jay to tell about Jimmy or vice versa. Like, we need a very good known brotherly story just to give us a little bit of that personal kick. Because right now it's just like, okay, they're brothers. Big deal. Whoop-de-doo. You know what I mean? Why do I care? But yeah, that's my number four. Number three, you got to give LA Knight a moment. We got to have a big LA Knight moment. You know, I thought it was cool what they did with the police car and LA attacking AJ at his house. That was really good. Really good camera work, too. And I just think they need to give LA Knight a moment. He had a few moments, Elimination Chamber moments, even before that. They kind of waited a little bit on. But this one, yeah, I think you got to give LA Knight a moment. Whether that's a good promo, he opens up the show on Raw. I don't know, but you got to get him in there with the crowd. That's when he works his best. But yeah, I don't think AJ is the type of competitor to give LA Knight a moment as far as like And what I mean by that is like they're gonna be wrestling in there, and it's gonna be good. It's gonna be solid work. But like personality wise, like AJ isn't good on the mic, so they're not gonna have a mic battle at all. So yeah, it's I'm hoping LA Knight comes out of WrestleMania with a ton of momentum. That's what I'm hoping. And he can challenge for one of these titles. He probably should have got a long time ago. Number two, make the right decision with the final two tag teams, meaning that six-pack tag team match where we have 12 competitors, six different teams, tag teams. And with the right decision, I mean more like, don't put anybody in there that doesn't make sense, right? Right now we have Awesome Truth. Doesn't make a ton of sense as far as like they haven't been together in years, right? But now they're competing for a tag championship. You know, it's kind of like, okay. But yeah, Julius Creed and the Creed brothers, that would make a ton of sense. And so I'm hoping they make the right decision here and don't just plug in somebody just because they want to get them some looks on the main roster, you know? Number one, you got to give us more Roman and The Rock moments, right? I want to see them together. I want to see how they interact. There's still been some very like subtle things that we're seeing between those two's relationship. But now that this man calls himself the final boss, you know what that means? That means he's the head of the table. Basically, he's the finished product, the top tier. You know, so I just need to see what that relationship is, because if you show me that relationship, whatever happens at WrestleMania, whether it's Rock turning on Roman or Rock helping, you know, I mean, Cody, whatever it is, I at least know somewhat of the motivations, you know what I mean? And right now, it's like when the Rock showed up, Roman was just like a tin hut. It was like, yes, sir, no, sir. And it's like, dude, you're the final boss. You know, we look to you. Like, why are you looking to him? You know? And so I just want to see more Roman and Rock one-on-one or in their back room, in, you know, that bloodline locker room or whatever. That'd be fun to see those two go at it and talk and you know, discuss things, and you know, maybe Roman can have a problem with what Rock did on Monday. Like, why'd you go attack him without my order or something like that? You know, yeah, I'd be really interested in those two's interaction. Those are two of the top dogs to ever do it. So, that'd be fun to interact and see. So those are some of the, again, five top tweaks I'd make before Mania. Number five, gotta make sure that Sammy is believable. Gotta make sure he's a believable opponent for Gunther. I don't know if that's necessarily possible to do because you chose Sammy over Gable, who Gable pushed Gunther to the brink more than anybody out there. So that'll be tough. Number four, make us care about Jay versus Jimmy. Give us a story, give us an emotional promo about it with each other, add the dad in it, like add Solo in it, like something to make us actually care about this story, you know, and where it's not just name versus name or last name versus last name, but it's like two opposites who think a certain way about their brother. I want to see that. Number three, give LA Knight a moment, whether it's opening the show, giving him a moment, or cutting a very good promo, something like that. It'd be really good, I think. It'd add to the momentum of LA Knight had before Elimination Chamber. And I think, yeah, it could be quality work. Number two, make the right decision with the final two tag teams for that six-pack match. This isn't as drastic, but I do think it matters, right? Giving the Creed brothers a WrestleMania platform to wrestle, that can get them over for moving forward. Same with some of these other tag teams. So yeah, I think you got to be strategic here. Even if you have to look in the NXT, you know what I mean? They don't have a ton of a tag teams like they used to, but you know, you could call one of them up and they'll plug and play. They'll do their thing. And number one, you got to give us more Roman and Rock moments, like with just them two and the Tribal Chief, just them two and the rest of the Bloodline. Because the way they interact with each other is kind of, there's something off there. It may not be a heel turn for Rock. It may not. It may end up being, you know, where Roman just loses, you know, fair and square. I doubt that's what happened. I doubt it'll be fair and square, but at least the Rock's around, things of that nature, ready to go. So, yeah, those are my top five tweaks WWE should make before Mania. Again, I think I'm excited for this Mania. I think it'll be a good one. I think the Philadelphia crowd will be great. Again, a little worried about some fluff matches. However, and it does feel like they have less of a plan this year than they did last year. It felt like last year they had a plan for almost every crucial person, whereas this year they're waiting kind of late, you know. And it seems like not everything is in place. That's why some of these matches were put on the card. But you never know. You never know. They might have had this WrestleMania 40 planned all along. I know they had to adapt with the Rock and Roman thing. They may have to adapt on other things as well. But yeah, I'm excited. Mania should be really good. It should flow, especially with it being 2 days. It should flow really easily. And man, if we get some crazy cameos to come out there and help Cody win, you know, like Stone Cold or, you know, John Cena or anything like that to help him overcome the Bloodline, maybe the Rock turns on Cody and Cody accounted for, you know, Jimmy or Solo coming out there, but he didn't account for The Rock being a part of that crew. Maybe The Rock jumps him, Roman jumps him, and then Stone Cold's music hits. He runs out there with his four-wheeler, and the crowd is just going nuts, like, and then hits them both with the stunner. Like, that would be crazy. But there again, anything's a possibility in the Triple H era. Anything is a possibility. So we shall see. But yeah, that was a quick one, guys. Again, we were kind of just going over the highlights of the past week. Next week, we'll hit you with some more info as we get ready for WrestleMania. We'll definitely have some guests on. We'll kind of talk about what we expect from some of these matches. We'll rate them, and then we'll obviously do a review, really thoroughly breaking down each card each night of WrestleMania. But yeah, definitely check us out on Instagram. Check us out on X, or whatever they call it now, on the Facebook group, and just hit me up directly. Either way, hit me up. Let me know what you think about the latest episode of Raw or just the WrestleMania build in general. But until next time, we out. Yep.